Senate will come to order. We don't have a quorum yet. Yeah. It's nice. All right. I think we got quorum now, don't we? Roll call.
Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Excused.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe. Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Excused.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Esquibel. Geis.
Here.
Hastert. Excused.
Excused.
Hicks.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Meyer. Excused.
Excused.
Nicholas.
Here.
Nutting. Perkins.
Excused.
Peterson.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here.
President Ross.
Here.
25 present, 5 excused.
Prayer by Pastor Minder. Oh, forgot. There we go.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that it's Friday. Thank you for the work that was done this week and will be done today. And ask that you bless the time that they put in. And Lord, as the senators and the support staff head home this week, whether it's across town or across the state, we ask that you give them safety and a refreshing weekend and help them get back here safely on Monday. And Lord, we want to pause again and pray for Senator Esquibel's grandson, Tay, who's got cerebral palsy and is in the hospital. We just ask, Lord, that you would touch him, that you would heal him, that you would give his family, his parents, strength through this time. Lord, help these men and women as they do the work today, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball. Reading correction and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 24th, 2013, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. The doctor of the day is Eric Waddell from Cheyenne. If you'd please stand. Nice to see you. And the nurse of the day is Deborah Dawson from Ivanson Hospital in Laramie. Welcome to the Senate. Hello. Today in Wyoming history, 1915, present-day Wyoming State Bar Association was formed with an initial membership of 95. Thought for the day, success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Winston Churchill. Messages from the House.
January the 24th, 2013, from the House of Representatives. Message number 183, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution number 4, Foreign Law Prohibition. Ayes 9, noes 50, excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I'd like to announce that on the Mineral Committee meeting today at noon, the Senate File 156, Enhanced Recovery Carbon Dioxide Certification, had been taken off the list and will not be discussed.
Thank you, Senator Hines. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, barring any objection, I would request that Senate File 129, Motor Vehicle Accidents, Serious Bodily Injury, sponsored by Senator Landon, be re-referred to Committee 6, and that's the wildlife and all those other things that they do. And, Mr. President, barring objection, I would request that Senate File 146, Termination of Parental Rights, sponsored by Senator Escobel, be referred to committee, re-referred to Committee 6 with also the appropriate title.
Without objection, Senate File 129 and Senate File 146 will be re-referred to Committee Number 6, travel and all those extraneous things that it does. House bills on first reading. House Bill 31, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 31, Printing of State Directory and Constitution, sponsored by Representative Byrd, an act relating to the Secretary of State. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 46, noes 14.
House Bill 31 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 78, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 78, Budget Review Process, sponsored by Representative Wallace, an act relating to the administration of government. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 3.
House Bill 78 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 186, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 186, Tax Exemption for Natural Gas Filling Stations Equipment, sponsored by Representative Petroff, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 34, noes 25, excused 1.
House Bill 186 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 108, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 108, Food Freedom Act, sponsored by Representative Wallace, an act relating to agriculture. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 45, noes 13, excused 2.
House Bill 108 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 42, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 42, Land Use Planning, sponsored by Representative Gingery, an act relating to land use planning. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 42 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 35, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill Number 35, Search and Rescue Operation, sponsored by Representative Gingery, an act relating to search and rescue operations. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 35 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 9, first reading of the House bill.
House Bill 9, Election Code Revisions 2, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, and Act Relating to Elections. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 9 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. House Bill 11, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 11, Insurance Holding Company System Regulatory Act, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance holding companies. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 11 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 2, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 2, Election Code Revisions, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to elections. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2.
House Bill 2 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 3, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 3, Effective Financing Statements Duration, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to the Uniform Commercial Code. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 3 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 10, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 10, Certificates of Insurance, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to insurance. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill 10 is referred to Committee number 7. House Bill 32, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 32, Elections, Vacancy Appointment Process, sponsored by Representative Coleman, an act relating to elections. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 32 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 127, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 127, Driver's Licenses Veterans Designation, sponsored by Representative Gingery, an act relating to veterans. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 127 is referred to Committee number 8, Transportation. House Bill 82, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 82, Interstate Sales of Health Insurance, sponsored by the Labor Committee, an act relating to health insurance. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 38, noes 21, excused 1.
House Bill 82 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 79, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 79, Collection of Unpaid Wages, sponsored by Representative Stubson, an act relating to the collection of unpaid wages. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 45, noes 14, excused 1.
House Bill 79 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. And House Bill 68, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 68, Life Resource Center, sponsored by the Labor Committee, an act relating to the administration of government. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 55, noes 4, excused 1.
House Bill 68 is referred to Committee number 10, Labor. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you very much. Fellow senators, I would like to introduce a group from a class in President Ross's district at Dildine School. It is the fifth grade, so please welcome them to the Wyoming Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. Hope you enjoy your day. Okay. Reports from standing committees.
January the 24th, 2013, Mr. President, Your committee number 5, Agricultural State Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 143, Cruelty to Animals, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Driscoll, Emmerich, Geis, Hicks, and Johnson, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, without objection, I would respectfully request and move that Senate File 90 be moved to the bottom of the list to follow Senate File 132 on second reading, and that Senate File 124 then be dropped to the very bottom to follow Senate File 90. So, make sure I said that correctly. Senate File 90 would be the second to the last bill for the day on second reading, and Senate File 124 would be the last bill on second reading.
That objection is so ordered. Senate File 29 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time?
No.
First of all, you got to read it.
Senate File 29, hitchhiking.
Trying to pick up the hitchhikers quickly here. Senate File 29 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Here, no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 59, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 59, Insurance Consumer Protections.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk, please read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 59.
Senate File 59, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 9.
Senator Scott?
Mr. President, this amendment is brought by Senator Perkins, but if it's all right, I think I understand it and can present it.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I would move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it doesn't change the substance of the proposed bill at all, but it moves its placement in the statutes to the end of the ones that are in this 2613 chapter and puts a new heading on it, failure to comply with contractor policy, that will make it easier for people to understand. It's a placement that works better, frankly, in the statute. I went, the amendment was shared with me, I went and consulted with the attorney that actually drafted the bill in the LSO to make sure there wasn't some reason for the placement of this section as it was done in the bill as drafted, and no, there isn't a special reason. And frankly, the advice we got was that she thought that what was being done here with this change would make it better. I think it makes it better. And, Mr. President, I would say that I think this is an illustration of the value of our process as it goes through here. And the members pay attention to the details. We do a better job of getting them right and getting something that the public can understand, and I would urge the adoption of the amendment and would be willing to answer any questions on it or could defer any questions to Senator Perkins, whose amendment it really is, on Senate File 59.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Senator Perkins, do you wish to address the amendment since it's yours?
Senator Scott did a good job.
Yes, he did. Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I either wasn't following, don't completely understand there on page 2, line 4, where we're deleting one paragraph and inserting another, but we do not have. Does this mean that we're just doing away with it? A, explain how we're following that, so I'm not following it correctly.
Senator Perkins?
All right, what we're doing in this is ultimately all we did was, if you look on the bill, on page 1, you see paragraph A. Paragraph A is right there. It's only existing language, and it wasn't numbered before. It was just simply a paragraph, and that was the entire section. And so what we're doing now is we're not changing that. All we're doing is we're putting that back exactly the way that it was. So A stays exactly the way that it was. And if you go to page 2 of the bill, what the amendment does is takes paragraphs B and C and simply puts them into their own section. And the reason I think that that's appropriate is what you do is the way that the entire chapter is structured, Mr. President, is 2613. You have section 101 is definitions. Section 102 is what paragraph A is in this bill. And it just says, and then every other section that follows in that chapter, simply every one of them is a series of unfair practices. And so what we've done is we've just created a new section. Previously, the last section was section 124. The new section, 125, will be paragraphs B and C, which will in that new section will simply be now A and B. And so all it does is we're specifying this as an unfair trade practice. And why I think the benefit of that does is when the new statutes are printed and listed out, anybody who goes to the kind of the contents table will look down and be able to see all the unfair trade practices. And a common guy might look down there and say, oh, that's exactly what it applies to me, can go there, and it just keeps it consistent with the rest of the structure of that particular chapter.
Further discussion? You ready for the question? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 59 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 59 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 86, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 86, County Offices Business Days.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk will please read in amendment number 1 to Senate File 86.
Senate File 86, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 14.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1. To Senate File 86. And fellow senators, the reason I brought this issue back, you'll remember we had a spirited discussion. I thought there were good points made on both sides of this issue with regard to courthouse hours yesterday, but I felt like there might have been a little bit of confusion on the floor. The good chairman from one of our committees presented the standing committee amendment, but then spoke against it. And I just felt like we deserved a good, clean shot at this issue. Speaking on and in favor of this amendment, I would just say that I think it's just fine for us to rely on our county commissions out there to decide on some of these courthouse hours. You know, it dawned on me last night as I thought about this, we're entering some difficult times potentially from a financial standpoint. And our Senate is going to be asking some of these agencies to cut back. Local governments may not have quite as much funding. I think it should be perfectly within the bounds of a county commission to consider, for example, you know, maybe we want to start closing one afternoon and furlough back on some of our salaries. This would allow them to do that. We already had the discussion about special events and things that might want to be considered by a county commission. That's a government that's very close to the people. For those who want that courthouse open, I think they can have a dialogue with the county commission. But I trust those local governments to make that decision. I think this is a good amendment. I'd like to see it put back in. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion? Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was one of those two that had a chance to rethink it overnight and about the discussion of turning control back to our locals. They know how to run their own show back home, and I suggest we support this amendment.
Senator Case?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I thought the discussion was pretty clear, but if there was any confusion, and I did talk to the sponsor of the bill, and he thought there might be some confusion, so it's perfectly appropriate to try this again. Mr. President, I really believe this changes the bill in a way that's unacceptable with respect to the Constitution. Because the bill, as proposed, kind of says, oh, well, the legal holidays are when the courthouse is closed, and then we don't do Saturdays anymore, and let's clear that up. That's what the bill does. The amendment, which came through the Corporations Committee, and that was the amendment yesterday. Let's talk about this amendment today. This amendment would grant the power to the county commissioners to close the courthouse. And that's way out of sync with what this bill was supposed to do. That grants a new power to county commissioners. And there's nothing in the bill title that indicates that we're granting them a new title, new power. Counties don't have home rule. If you look at the powers of county commissioners, remember, they have authority over their office. They don't have authority over the clerks and the other elected offices. It's very confusing. And, Mr. President, most importantly, the county is where people's business is done. We need to have uniform hours for the paying of taxes, for the ability to access, you know, when your plates are due in 10 days after you buy a car, you don't have a choice. You pay your taxes on particular days, you don't have a choice. If you're in a lawsuit and you need to file a lien, for example, or file some paperwork, you don't have a choice. Now, how can they save money at courthouses? Of course they could. Some offices could go home, no problem. But there are some legal functions that have to be there, although of course they could be done with the skeleton crew. On Christmas Eve, if it's a working day, you know, you don't have to have a full crew in. But this amendment is not constitutional, because it changes the intent of the bill.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, to the constitutional argument. Mr. President, the intent of the bill is expressed in the title, an act relating to counties clarifying days of operation. That's what the amendment does. Gives the county commissioners a power to clarify those days of operation. Mr. President, I think this is a real stretch to say that we violated the Constitution. I think the real argument is over whether it's a good thing to do. I think it is, but you've heard the other argument that some lawyer may be surprised, go to the courthouse and find that it's closed for frontier days or something like that.
Further discussion, Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, I think this is a very good amendment. Over the years, commissioners have actually done quite a bit of time, had quite a bit of opportunities to close courthouses for various things. And I remember and recall a time when we had the river going through town that started to overflow and flood the town. And guess what? We emptied out the courthouse for everybody to get down and sandbag the river. We just closed the courthouse up that day. And this is just generally in practice now. All we're doing with this amendment is codifying what the commissioners already do. So I'd suggest that you support this amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment, you know, folks, you go back to the commerce issue, and you know, if the state of Wyoming wants to be open to businesses for entities to come in and people want to come here to transact their businesses, there are certain things that you have to have on a consistent basis. And if you've ever dealt in those states where they delegate to their local provinces, their counties, or their parishes the capacity to make their own laws, and you delegate to them to do things, it is hard to do business in those states. Now, if these folks close up the office for an emergency or things like that, fair enough, and then folks sort through those issues. But part of the reason we've not previously delegated these to county commissioners is to have a sense of uniformity for everybody doing business. The business of this, for most people, businesses have to be conducted on a consistent, regularized basis. You need to know when your banks are going to be open. The Federal Reserve doesn't say you get to have a bank and open the days that you want or close the days you want. If you're a bank, you've got to be open on the days that they're open. And so you're trying to have a state that is in a century where you force people to do businesses at your county level. They need to be open for business so that we can get our jobs done. And I think it's a bad policy to delegate to the county commissioners the option to make their own days, say, oh, we're not going to be open on Fridays because we want to regulate our budgets. Or we're going to be, our employees would like to head off to the weekend on Friday, so everybody will be shut down on noon on Friday. These aren't things that we should be doing.
Further discussion, Senator Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I made my arguments yesterday, and I'll just simply rest that case and stand on our argument. I'll just simply say in regard to your support for the amendment, all I'm asking you to do is just to exercise your good judgment and your common sense in regard to how you think your business should be conducted in your home county, and that's all that this amendment does, along with the bill, is allowing those local folks to exercise good judgment, common sense. That's all I'm asking for.
Further discussion. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 86, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand.
Uh-oh.
I suppose.
Chair will take care of that. Oh, it can pass on that. Second reading.
It's good to be king. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, you're king.
Aye. Amendment passed.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
County commit next Senate file, second reading of Senate File 91.
You have to finish that.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the bill number? Senate File 86 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 91, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File number 91, County Commissioner's Election to Modify Numbers. That's all I need to do.
Senate File 91, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be heard a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 115, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 115, Protective Services Investigation Amendments.
Senate File 115, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 126, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 126, Overweight and Oversized Vehicles.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 126.
Senate File 126, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 7.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 126. Mr. President, what this does goes in on page 2 after line 12 with a proviso that we're putting in here. Nothing in this article should be interpreted to authorize the operation of triple trailers as prohibited by Wyoming Statute 31-5-1009. Mr. President will recall the sometimes the very active debate we had dealing with triple trailers back in the 90s. And what this does, they are prohibited under 31.5.1009. But the reason I wanted it in here, we're talking about granting the right for the governor to declare, waive certain weight restrictions and those kind of things. But we're saying you can do that, Governor, but you can't authorize triple trailer rigs. The people have spoken on that, and we want to make sure that every governor always remembers to listen to the people when they speak. So that's why it's in here. I would ask for your support.
Discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 126 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Further discussion on the bill? If not, Senate File 126 have been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 127, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 127, lien notice.
Senate File 127, having read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 132, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 132, silencers, suppressors, and automatic weapons.
Senate File 132, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 90, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 90, administrative control of acquired institutional lands.
We have a rewrite of the bill, Senate File, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 90. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 90, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 5.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 90. Mr. President, you'll recall that this is about the bill Administrative Control of Acquired Institutional Lands. We had a discussion about this bill yesterday. Kind of the gist of the way the bill works is that the land surrounding these facilities that we have in Wyoming that were originally acquired for the benefit of those facilities under this proposed bill would be moved on to the highest and best use. We had a discussion about what that meant and whether that was compatible with those facilities. This amendment proposes to make that process be more compatible with the great facilities that we have across the state. And it does a second thing, Mr. Chairman. The bill proposes that the money raised from the acquired land sales that go to highest and best use would go to the general fund. I argue that those lands were acquired for the purposes of supporting the institutions. And so I have required in this amendment that the money go to the benefit of the institutions. So the amendment is actually simpler than it looks because we have all the different departments in the bill. You know, there's Department of Health, Corrections, and Family Services. So it repeats itself three times. That's basically what happens here. So if we just look on the first page of the amendment, we go into page 2, line 14. That's on line 7 of the amendment. And we're changing it from the general fund, and we're putting it into a special revenue fund for the Department of Health to be used upon further legislative appropriation for the benefit of the institution for whom the land was acquired. Very similar language for the other departments. And then on line 14 of the amendment, Mr. President, it goes into page 2, lines 19 through 22 of the bill, and deletes those lines and instead substitutes, this section shall be managed consistent with, one, Romanet little I, consideration of the needs of the institution. Romanet 2, consideration of alternative uses of the property which are compatible with the mission of the institution. Romanet 3, local ordinances and zoning requirements, and Romanet 4, limitations contained in the Constitution, the State of Wyoming, state and federal law, and the conveyance instrument. So, Mr. President, what it does is say, let's do a process that's more compatible with the mission and the future of these facilities. It's not a wholesale land sale. We're going to look at doing things that kind of meet the mission and support the institution. I'd be happy to answer further questions on my second time, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Case. Mr. Vice President. Oh, excuse me. Senator Schiffer.
Am I on?
Yes,
you are. Ooh, yeehaw. Or am I off? Or, Mr. President, I would ask that we divide this amendment.
Okay.
And, Division 1 would be lines 1 through 5, lines 14 through 32, lines 39 through 44 on page 1. And I'm about to get poached here, I'm thinking. Then on page 2, Division 1 would be lines 1 through 13.
Division lines on page 2, what is it?
Lines 1 through 13, lines 21 through 45.
21 through 45?
Yes. And then on all, and all of page 3.
And all of page 3.
What? I won't hit the microphone anymore.
So
that would be Division 1, I think. And then Division 2 would be page 1, lines 6 through 13. And page 1, lines 33 through 38.
Okay.
And page 2, lines 14 through 20. And that is Division 2. Did I get it right?
That's correct. That appears to be divisible.
On each one of those, you need to pull that one in.
Okay, we'll let the bookkeeper settle that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so for the body's edification, Division 1 on page 1 is lines 1 through 5, lines 14 through 32. Lines 39 through 44, page 2, lines 1 through 13, and lines 21 through 45, and all of page 3.
Yes, sir.
The remainder is division number 2. That appears to the chair to be divisible. So we'll address first division number 1, and I'll yield to Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. That was going to be my motion to divide it. It certainly is divisible. And on the first one, you know, we talked yesterday about this member of the senator of the Senate about the highest and best use, and clearly I think this more correctly delineates that, and I think it makes the bill a little bit, it certainly tightens it down more in favor of the institutions and the agencies, but I think we can live with that, so I would ask that we adopt this.
Any further discussion on Division 1? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. With respect to the Division Number 1, as to where the funds should go, we've got, this is the general fund, or is that 2?
That's 2.
Okay.
I'll sit down. Discussion on Division 1. Senator Anderson, 28.
Mr. President, the highest and best use also appears on page 5. Is that changed in this amendment also? I don't think it is.
Line 17.
On page what?
5, line 17.
I'm not understanding what you... Senator Case.
Mr. President, if you look on the amendment, you'll notice that on line 22, it says page 5, lines 17 through 20 are deleted.
Right.
That would delete the language about highest and best use. So I think it's consistent and tracks.
The division tracks.
Oh, absolutely. This is not a question about the division. I think we all agree what the first division is. This was a question, Mr. President, about whether or not the actual substance of the first division caught something in the bill.
Okay.
And I think indeed it does. And it basically takes out highest and best use and says we're going to do it under this criteria. That's the purpose of the first division.
Right. Any further discussion on division number one? Question has been called on division number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Division number one has been adopted. We are now on division number two. Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would urge the Senate to defeat this. And as I read the language, we are earmarking funds, and we've all been through that debate, and we've talked about it. Certainly, if something is another use has come up for this land and revenues come, they ought to go to the general fund, and we ought to look at that in the overall prioritization of how we do that, rather than this is specifically earmarked for those agencies. So I would ask that you defeat this.
Further discussion? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and I pulled this out, it seems to me that there's a couple alternatives here that we should consider. I'm very uncomfortable sending the money directly back to the institution. I think it needs a little more. What could happen? The whoever's administering the institution could say, I'm short of cash, I'm going to sell some land, and we wouldn't even know about it. But it seems to me that there are some other alternatives. If the Senate's uncomfortable with the money going to the general fund, and I think I may share that discomfort, there are two other funds out there. One is the Common Land Fund, and that fund is for the maintenance of state institutions. We've used it to build buildings. We've used it for a number of different things. It's controlled by the State Land and Investment Board, and institutions can borrow from that fund. They can get a grant from that fund, but that's what it's for, is the maintenance of state institutions. The other one is the State Institution Income Fund or Spending Fund or something like that. I got to do a little more research. And that's the other one that we can spend directly out of. It's not a permanent fund. But it seems to me the money ought to go to one of those two. Then we have oversight over it, or at the very least, the SLIB board has oversight over it, rather than just dumping it into the general fund. I'm very uncomfortable with that.
Senator Meyer.
Chairman, it does say upon further legislative appropriation, so these folks just can't sell something and then spend the money. So, you know, we do get another look at it. At this point in time, I think I'm more comfortable with this than general fund, but perhaps a third reading amendment that would clarify it, as the good senator from Johnson County suggested, might be a good third reading amendment. But at this point in time, I think I'm more comfortable with this language than the general fund.
Further discussion, Senator, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think where we're talking about is we have folks, two accounts out there. One's called the Permanent Land Fund. That's a permanent account. And we have the Omnibus Permanent Land Income Fund. So you have an Omnibus Land Fund, and within it we have accounts. So I just read you some of the accounts. There's an account for the Miners Hospital, one for the public building at the Capitol, Fish Hatcheries, Common School, Permanent, Deaf, Dumb, Blind, Permanent, Carry Act, Permanent Land, Omnibus, Permanent Land, Wyoming State Hospital, Permanent, Wyoming State Training School, Permanent, Penitentiary, Permanent Land, Agricultural College, and the University, Permanent Land. Now, when the money comes into those accounts, the income obviously goes from there into the income accounts to be spent, and it's important where the money ends up, because if some of these accounts funds can actually be expended by the SLIB board in our absence if there's an emergency. And so you need to have a discussion about whether you want to put it in the permanent fund, which is my recollection is these are not necessarily inviolate, although if they're called permanent funds, you can appropriate out of it, but the SLIB board cannot spend out of it. And but so it's, I think where I hear folks talk about, it may be the solution on the next reading is to say that when you sell real estate, proceeds should go into an appropriate permanent fund within the omnibus permanent land fund account and assigned to the institution for whose benefit the land was held. So you make sure that, and it ought to go, since land was really a permanent asset, now let's put the proceeds as a permanent land fund asset to be used for replacement. Now, when I say that, though, that assumes that we can appropriate out of it. If you want to put it into an income fund, if that can't be the case, so that's the investigation, is whether I think we can appropriate out of the permanent funds. And while they say they're inviolate, that's a statutory restriction, not a constitutional restriction. So we can retrieve those funds to replace property. But there is a solution out there for this. I think it's just going to be next reading.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I greatly appreciate the thinking and discussion here. It's certainly my feeling that these are long-term obligations of the state of Wyoming. This land was acquired for their benefit, and that we should maintain that commitment as we move forward. The trouble with all these places is they're getting older, and they have capital facility needs and major maintenance needs, and I would like to hope that we could have the money available for those types of things and not be for ordinary operations, because that just will get us in trouble. So with the commitment of these fine folks that have talked on this, the good-thinking senators, I would be, absent objection, I'll pull the second part of the division and come back with something that works a little better tomorrow, and I appreciate the chance to talk about it today. So if there's no objection, I'd be happy to pull it.
Without objection, Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 has been withdrawn. Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, question is, Senate File 90 have been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Johnson.
May I have privilege of the floor, Mr.
May.
President? Thank you very much. I understand the last group I introduced from the president's district, I gave the wrong school name, so I will make sure this time to tell you that this is the second group from the fifth grade at Alta Vista Elementary School in Cheyenne, and they are President Ross's elementary students. If they'll stand up, we will give you a welcome.
Welcome to the Senate. Hope you enjoy your day here at the Capitol. Senate File 124, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 124, frivolous loans.
Liens. There is an amendment. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 124. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 124, second reading amendment number 1, corrected copy, page 1, line 9.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I think the reader has a very good point, and maybe we could bring that back in our third reading amendment and see if we could do some frivolous loans. But anyway, what I've got here is this amendment, and I would move the second reading amendment to Senate File 124 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. It's not
my fellow senators, it's not as bad as it looks. The if you remember our discussion yesterday, what we're trying to do is just an overview with the amendment is to clarify that an amendment. Remember, this is a lien that's been filed against an individual, a governmental employee, a judge, a county commissioner, a clerk of the court, the governor, whomever, as a result of them acting in their office, and so you have these liens filed against them. And so we're trying to create, after our discussion yesterday, a two-pronged approach, Mr. President, to enable those individuals to remove those liens that have been filed against their personal property. So what we're doing in this thing is, the first thing we do in the amendment is we, of course, do a little bit of technical correction in line two of the amendment and in line. Then what we do, then what we're doing next is we're bringing in, if you look at the bill on page one, if you look at line 12, you see the section is false or frivolous liens, damages, penalties. If you look down on line 15, that's paragraph B. What we're doing so we can add and clarify that this is an optional or that an individual can go under either one of these opportunities for relief, we're pulling back in A, and that's what you find in the first part of the amendment is on lines 7 through 16. We're pulling in A, and then we're adding the new language. The federal, state, or local official or employee may discharge a lien under subsection B or D of this section. So we're just pulling that in to make sure that they have the option. Then the next thing we do, you see in the amendment on line 18, page 3, lines 1 and 2, we're deleting those because what we're doing, if you go back to the bill and look at the bill, on lines 15 and 16 on page 1 and then through line 14 on page 2, we're reinstating the language that's stricken in the bill. So since that language is in, now we delete it from the amendment, which puts it back and leaves it the way that it was. And these amendments are always so much fun to track, aren't they? Then what we do is we go back to the main section, which is on page 3 of the bill. And what we're doing in the amendment then is clarifying and having the discussion yesterday. We're making sure that when we talk about the affidavit, that we're making sure that's recorded in the clerk of the district court, and there's a distinction there. We want it recorded, since we're dealing potentially with real property, we want it recorded, and that'll clarify to the county clerk what they're supposed to do with the affidavit. On suggestion of the majority floor leader, we reduce the time for filing for the time period for someone to respond once an individual has filed an affidavit declaring that this is a lien's been filed against them in their official capacity, reducing that time from 30 days to 20 days so that the person then they have only 20 days to respond that this is to whether or not this is truly a frivolous lien. Then the rest of you see what they're doing in the amendment is we're clarifying that the affidavit be filed in the clerk, and then it provides a procedure where you can then go to once the 20 days, if the amendment passes, once the 20 days lapses, you can take a copy of the recorded affidavit, which would have the stamp and the date stamp on it from the county clerk. You can take it over to the clerk of the district court. You can show that. The district clerk of the district court can then verify that there's been no petition filed within the 20-day period. If that is indeed the case, then she can certify, do a certification or write a certification that there has been no petition filed. Then you take that back to the county clerk and file that with the county clerk's office, have it recorded. And then what that will do is allow the title company to say, okay, the lien was frivolous, it's now null and void and of no effect. And so that's what the amendment does, is clarify that two-prong process and make it should make it, hopefully, I believe it makes it now abundantly clear of the process and how you go about it and provide the necessary relief for a title agency to write clear title and know that frivolous lien no longer clouds the title that it was intended to do. Thank you. I urge your favorable consideration and would stand for questions.
Further discussion? Question? Question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 124 pass? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 124 having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Thank you, Your Highness, and I do have a consent list. I move the following consent list. It's the entire list on the green sheet. I move that the following bills be passed on consent list. Senate File 16, Aeronautics Programs. Senate File 61, Revisers Bill. Senate File 70, Land Possessor Duty to Trespasser. Senate File 72, Medicaid Benefit Recovery. Senate File 89, Veterinarian Technicians. Senate File 101, Child Abuse Reporting Penalties. Senate File 125, Public Employees Retirements Upon Rehiring 2.
Would any senator like any of the bills on the consent list removed? Senator Schiffer.
President, I would request that Senate File 89, Veterinary Technicians, be removed.
Any other senator wish a bill to be removed from the consent list? Seeing none, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 16, Aeronautic Programs. Senate File 61, Revisers Bill. Senate File 70, Land Possessor Duty to Trespasser. Senate File 72, Medicaid Benefit Recovery. Senate File 101, Child Abuse Reporting Penalties. And Senate File 125, Public Employees Requirements Upon Rehiring 2. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case. Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Bonflatern.
Aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Hastert. Aye. 30 ayes. Senate File 16, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 16, 30 ayes. Senate File 61, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 61, 30 ayes. Senate File 70, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 70, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 72, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 72, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 101, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Hicks, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no.
Ross, aye to no.
President Ross, aye to no.
Coe,
aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 101, 14 ayes, 16 noes. Senate File 125, are there any changes? Johnson, aye to no. Closing vote. Hastert, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 125, 26 ayes, 4 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 16, Senate File 61, Senate File 70, Senate File 72, and Senate File 125 have passed the Senate. Senate File 101, having failed to receive affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 101 has failed to pass the Senate. Senate File 89, third reading of Senate File.
Senate File 89, Veterinarian Technician, sponsored by Senator Emmerich, an act relating to veterinarians, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I asked to have this moved off the consent list. And I'll just remind the Mr. President that what this bill does, and the bill is on page 2, line 4, no person shall practice as a veterinary technician unless the person is registered by the board under this article. Then we dress it up a little bit. That's a fencing bill, straight and simple. That's what it is. This is to make sure that, and strangely enough, we educate these kids. There's a number of community colleges that have vet tech programs. They're good programs. But what we're doing is we're making a fence for that specific employment. I would suggest to you that vet techs work for a veterinarian virtually 100% of the time. They don't. Some of them work on their own, but it's pretty limited what they can do. Let those veterinarians out there, let the public decide whether they got a good vet tech. We don't need to regulate that. That's no place for the state of Wyoming to be regulating. These folks are well-trained. If they're not well-trained, nobody's going to put them to work. We don't need to expand state government, and particularly the regulation, into this area. I urge you to vote no on the bill.
Discussion. Senator Ron Flater.
Thank you, Mr. President. In support of the bill, we register CNAs, nurses, radio X-ray techs, for lack of a better word. We register them all to certify that they've got the education, they have the experience that's required for the project or the job. And so, for some reason, this one shouldn't be registered. I can't quite see why this is a fencing bill. It seems to me that it's a normal course of business for our state.
Further discussion? Senator Barnard.
Mr. Senator, rising on in favor of this bill, when we make these vet techs a separate entity, and we will be raising the bar and making sure that these people all receive the same kind of training. They all have the same kind of requirements, and it makes it so that when a person is a vet tech, they are, of course, working under the auspices of a veterinarian. We have optometric technicians in my profession. They're trained to do certain things. They're allowed to do certain things, but they always work under the optometrist. And it's the same on other dental technicians and other things like that. This bill would make it so that people can't go around and say that they're a vet tech, and if they do, they'll be punished for it, because those people can deceive other people, say, I'm qualified, and they're not really, and they're not going to be working under a veterinarian. This bill will also help with reciprocity by establishing certain numbers of hours and certain requirements and certain amounts of training. These people who come from another state, if they don't have that kind of training, the veterinary board can refuse their training and make them come up to snuff. And by the opposite thing, if our vet techs have the training, they can go to another state and be recognized. This board will protect the technicians. If they are under the veterinarian's board, then they will be policed by that board, and also they can be protected by that board. We've done this before with dietetics a few years ago. We established a special qualification and an occupation, and it's worked out well as far as I know. I think this is a win-win bill, and I'd ask for your support on it.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. You know, these types of bills are always, it'd be really nice to say, I was just talking to my desk mate here. My mother used to tell me that, you know, son, just because everybody else jumps off the bridge, you don't have to jump off the bridge too. And, I always found that to be pretty good advice, Mr. President. And when you look at this, if you look at what the bill does, no person shall practice, excuse me, if you go to page 2, line 1, any veterinarian licensed to practice veterinary medicine in the state of Wyoming may use services of one or more registered veterinary technicians. No person shall practice as a veterinary technician unless the person is registered by a board under this article. So, what you have right there when you have that and you go through the bill, and this is my concern, is what happens is there's all kinds of people who can be very good at what they do because they've got experience. They may not have the credential. They may not have gone and sat for the test, but they're very good at what they do. And so what you have now is when someone who's assisting a veterinarian, do they have to now be registered? So if my good friend in the cow business goes out there and helps the vet pull a calf, is now a vet tech, and he's violated, he's practicing vet tech without a license. But the other thing, even if that's a stretch, the other thing it comes down to is it's like this. Let me give you an example of what these types of bills do and how they affect people in real life. Sir, just recently I had someone who, they run a tanning salon, and they decided they wanted to do some teeth whitening. Now, teeth whitening is covered under another professional board. Well, what they were doing, Mr. President, is they're simply getting stuff that you can get yourself through the mail and do to yourself. You put some stuff in a tray and you put it on your mouth, you can buy this stuff through the mail. Well, they came in and they would help you do this. They would acquire the same types of stuff. You apply it to your teeth and you come out of there, Mr. President, you have some nice pearly whites and you'd look really, you'd be spiffed right up. So, someone happened to walk by and see that they offer that, so they write a letter to the board of this, and all of a sudden here comes a letter from that appropriate attorney general says, you can no longer do that. And so you look at that, and, so your choice is, do you fight that and spend a bunch of money fighting that, or do you just not do, help, basically do things you can do for yourself. And, you have to watch this. It's really nice for everybody to be licensed, and I don't begrudge vet techs. There are great programs around if people want to pursue that and get that professional status. More power to them, but we have to be incredibly careful when we do this because it does affect real people in their lives.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, we do have to be super careful about this sort of thing because you can put perfectly innocent people out of business. But this bill, If you're going to construct, Mr. President, a fencing bill, you have to create a scope of practice and say anybody that does this sort of thing is doing whatever and needs to have a license to do it. I would call the Senate's attention to page 5, lines 5 through 6. Veterinary technician means a person who is registered as a veterinary technician by the board. With that kind of definition of veterinary technician, as I read this bill, you can't call yourself a veterinary technician unless you're licensed by the board. So I don't see, Mr. President, this bill as a big fencing bill. I may be a little unpersuaded as to the need for the bill. But unless somebody in further debate can convince me that there's something else in here that allows somebody to define something these vet techs do as something that only a vet tech or a veterinarian can do, I don't think it's a fencing bill.
Better case.
Mr. President, thank you. You know, I imagine a lot of boards and professional licensing and occupation started out a lot like this, probably, where folks got together and thought, gee, it'd be nice to have some kind of certification and, you know, it'll be optional. You can choose to do it or not. And then time goes on, and then they decide they want to tighten up the standards so that the profession is elevated. Of course, their credentials are elevated, and hopefully their pay is elevated. And to do that, you have to start worrying about people that don't meet the criteria, and you start keeping them out. And it's the way we sort of get everybody over-certified. And it's in health and safety, it's important. It's important to have good training, all these kind of things. That's why I think you have so much more mandatory strictness in the area of human medicine. This is animal medicine. I'm not sure that we have the same public interest concern. And in the end, Mr. President, what I always worry about is the one person we don't ask about is the public truly benefited by having occupational restrictions? Everybody will always tell you yes, but I think many, many times they're not. It drives up prices, restricts entry into the profession, makes it harder for people to move and exercise life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness by doing an occupation. We have to be careful about this. If it's not really necessary, why would we start it?
Senator Emmerich?
Thank you, Mr. President. At the risk of inciting another piling on incident, this really is not a fencing bill, as the good senator mentioned. This is a bill that came at the request of the veterinary technicians who are in the state of Wyoming now. And they wish to have oversight by the Board of Veterinary Medicine. So I attempted to come up with a vehicle which would provide certification. It also provides certification for those individuals who do not have an educational certificate. There are plenty of those out there that have not had the formal education, but can be certified by the board after rules are written. Voted up, voted down, but will be one of the few states that doesn't have the technicians oversight by the Board of Veterinary Medicine in the country. I urge support of this, if you will, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Questions been called. Senate File 89, having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2?
Aye.
Anderson, District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Senate File 89, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 89 has passed the Senate. Senator Johnson.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you very much. Mr. President, your third and final group from Alta Vista fifth grade is up in the south balcony, so if they'll stand up, we will welcome them.
Welcome to the Senate. Hope you have a good day. Senator Escobel.
Privilege of the floor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, I introduce my wife, Jackie. She's up there somewhere. And yeah, there she is. And my granddaughter, our granddaughter, Sam.
Hey! Welcome, Jackie. Good to see you. We're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole and His Highness Anthony Rosiglione return to the throne.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Senator Escobel.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You may.
Senators, we do want to bestow you with
with the crown.
And we ask that you rule with kindness and happiness.
There's a reckoning coming.
A reckoning coming. Huh? All right.
How you get out of that? I don't know.
Get the man a beer.
Mr. Hymus, if
if you would give me the privilege of bringing the Committee of the Whole. The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first order, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 106. And would the reading clerk read the file?
Senate File 106, Projects Funded by Abandoned Mine Lands Fund, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, and Act Relating to Projects Funded with Abandoned Mine Land Funds. It was referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Mr. Senator Bebout.
Senate File 106, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 11.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Bebout.
And then get through the bill first, and we'll come back and deal with the Standing Committee Amendment. And, Mr. Chairman, this bill is the Joint Appropriations Committee's AML funds bill. It's a result of interim work that they have done, and it comes from you from that Joint Appropriations Committee work. Mr. Chairman, I will go through the bill. If you look on, excuse me, on page 2, the language there modifies a match to allow expenditures of the $10 million, and this deals with the AA facility at the University of Wyoming, and the language we had last year was a match $10 million general fund, $10 million contributions from the private sector to match it, and then a $10 million bonding. And Mr. Chairman, this language said that all the money had to come in before we could distribute any of the state's funds. What this amendment does, Mr. Chairman, is it said as the money comes in, then the match comes in, then the state will put forward their funds into the account. And, Mr. Chairman, on page 3, lines 4 through 11, that continues to do that. Mr. Chairman, as you go down to section 2, starting on page 3, line 13, this deals with a General Electric project we had in Cheyenne. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. And the status of that is, members of the Senate, is that I think it was approximately $43 million was appropriated this, and it was done in 2008, and it was a joint venture with General Electric to look at some coal gasification potential, and they set up a situation that this joint venture would move forward. And what you see there, Mr. Chairman, is a combination of all those appropriations. It's come to the attention of your Joint Appropriations Committee that it looks like that this project will not be moving forward. And so, Mr. Chairman, what this section does is we remove that appropriation and then we redirect it. Mr. Chairman, what this language here does, it says that $30 million of that would go, and actually $40 million of that would go to the University of Wyoming to be utilized for the engineering college. And Mr. Chairman, this is where one of the Standing Committee amendments comes in, that we're going to look at redirecting that money that $40 million that's redirected to the University of Wyoming for the College of Engineering, that we're going to take $30 million of that and redirect it to the Madison project up in Campbell County and leave $10 million at the University of Wyoming for the College of Engineering. Then, Mr. Chairman, if you look at page 4, line section B, this modifies a match on the University of Wyoming College of Engineering that the $15 million match from last year will not have to be matched. Mr. Chairman, if you look on page 5, this is language that allows a swap to occur with the University of Wyoming for all of it. That's an internal swap. And then, Mr. Chairman, if you look down on page 5, line 13. This is a whiteout swap, and we remove this in the Standing Committee Amendment. So the way it ends up, if we adopt the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman, is that the AML money in the General Electric appropriation of the $43 million there, $10 million of that will remain at the university to be swapped out for the College of Engineering, and $30 million of that will go to the Water Development Commission for the to be swapped out for the Gillette Madison project. Mr. Chairman, if you go on to page 6, you can see some repealers, and one of those is dealt with in the Standing Committee Amendment. Mr. Chairman, that's on page 6, line 6, 1C, 2A, little 2IA, and that's the AA bonding requirement that remove the what we do in the Standing Committee Amendment. We put that in a different part of the of this particular bill. The second part of that, Mr. Chairman, I just discussed about it. It's repealing the $15 million match on the College of Engineering. And, Mr. Chairman, it takes a, on the footnote, the shall not revert until June 30th of 2018, and that's only for the College of Engineering. Mr. Chairman, if you look on the bottom of page 6, starting on line 17, this is an appropriation of the $3 million left. And understand, we have $43 million in the GE project. This leaves takes $3 million of that and puts it to, and you'll look at the language, Mr. Chairman, it starts on the bottom of page 6. These funds shall be redirected to the University of Wyoming for research project on characterization of coal mine from the Powder River Basin. And I have some language in the Standing Committee Amendment that redirects that language to talk about a match will be required. And that's in the Standing Committee Amendment. And then, Mr. Chairman, on the bottom of page 7, section 320, what this does, members of the Senate, is that there is an outstanding obligation that the state of Wyoming has to General Electric. It's approximately $8 million, and that's the commitment the state of Wyoming made to them in the 50-50 joint venture. General Electric has documented that their contributions have been $8 million, and the state is obligated, at least contractually, we think, to pay that. No funds have been transmitted at this particular time. General Electric has not asked for that. And if you go back to the last page, Mr. Chairman, on page 8, you see we extended that date until 2014 to finalize that agreement and the contract that we have with General Electric. Mr. Chairman, that is what this bill does. And going back to the Standing Committee Amendment, and I pretty much explained to you what the Standing Committee Amendment does. I'll go through it one more time, Mr. Chairman, is it redirects the deletion of the AA bonding requirements to a different part of the bill. It deletes a YDOT swap. And then what we did is we, in fact, with the redirection of the AML funds, we go to the, we take them out of the University of Wyoming for the Gillette Madison project and put them in the Wyoming Water Development Office. And the whole purpose of that is that's more coal related than the engineering college plus the University of Wyoming really didn't have the general funds available to do the swap. The last part of the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman, is on page 39, and the $3 million I discussed with you about the coal characterization study of the Powder River Basin, what we do there is request a match and that no funds will be spent for salaries. And, Mr. Chairman, the rest of it's cleanup and conforming language. Mr. Chairman, with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, and if there are none, I'll call for the question.
Discussion. Are you ready for the question? Senator Bumplatter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sponsor, and I'm just curious because I don't really understand it. When you talk about that coal research, page 6, starting, I guess it starts on page 5, but 6, down through 6, and then your amendment says no funds authorized under this section shall be expended for salary or benefits. That'd be my first question is, you're just talking buying equipment or something. You can explain what you mean by that. And then no funds shall be dispersed until this section until a like amount from non-state source. So this money is going to sit there, which is, I don't know, $3 million, unless matched first. And that, do you mean matched and no funds authorized? Is that what that means? It can't be salaries and no funds authorized until matched? Is that what? Both criteria have to be there, I guess.
Senator Beaudet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a little more discussion about this, too. I want to clarify the purpose of what we want to try to utilize with these funds, and I'll get to that specific question, is that we think that there's some opportunities with, in fact, we talked about the General Electric partnership we're looking at. We also think there's some opportunities with GE to work on this characterization study, and what it gets into is the difference between, and my colleague from Campbell County will understand this, the difference between coal in the northern part of the basin and difference between coal in the southern part of the basin relative to their BTU content and water percentages. So that's part of what they want to look at. Plus, there's also an upgrade opportunity available out there where they take these BTUs, the coal, and they upgrade, so take it from the 8,500 BTUs up to 11,000 BTUs, and then they have bunker oil as a byproduct of that. So there's some opportunities to do that. As to the way I read that language, first of all, the intent of it was to say that it's all matching, so nothing happens until the funds are matched. And then the funds that we put into the matching program, none of the general funds that we, none of the AML funds, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, would be utilized for salaries. This is kind of standard language. We don't want to put this money out there and have it utilized for salaries.
Senator Von Plattern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just another question. When you use the term like amount of funds, so that does allow, if somebody donates $1 million, they can spend $1 million. They don't have to wait, raise the whole three and then start spending. Just the like amount of funds, $500,000, they can spend $500,000 of state money.
Senator Beaudet.
Mr. Chairman, the way I read it, it says a like amount of funds, so I would assume that it would be, there could be several projects, and we can revisit that, but that's the way I would read it.
Okay.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, honor for the amendment, but I would like to address the issue with respect to the $3 million for the coal classification. You know, folks, as we move through these AML funds that we call the prior balance AMLs that were owed to us in prior years and being reimbursed to us, our challenge was to say, okay, what are we going to do with these things? And particularly with respect to coal technology, advancing the mineral interests of the state. And there are kind of three different categories that I think we tried to advance. One was we wanted to advance projects that would not otherwise be constructed. That is, actually get facilities on the ground. Unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of great success. You know, we put money into roads going to coal to liquids facility. We tried to advance some other advanced conversion technology. We put grants out for last summer for a couple projects, and none of those actually resulted in projects that landed in the state and actually resulted in either more coal consumption or jobs. Another category we were putting money to is just to advance the technology. So the technology didn't have to reside in the state or in a particular person. We were just trying to advance the general technology that would encourage private businesses to come into Wyoming and make investments. So what was the environment that we could have? That's a more tricky issue, and this is sort of where this comes in. That is there something we could go up and do and spend money in the Powder River Basin that somebody who's not otherwise going to be investing in coal would say, well, geez, now that you've done this study, we'll come up and make a new investment. And that's a tricky one. I don't see that what happens is these monies get consumed by firms that are consultant types. There's plenty of consultants looking out to spend your money, to spend through it, and they'll give you all the studies that you want. And if you go down to the School of Energy Research, you'll get a stack of studies this high. But I submit to you that in most instances, these coal companies, they know what their coal is. They know what the BTU is. They know where it is. And the folks that are making this kind of sizable investment, they're going to do their own investigation. We're not likely to influence. But we'll spend through the $3 million pretty fast. The other area that we talked about is, do we want to advance the technology and the skill sets of the of people in Wyoming? So in some instances, we went to School of Energy Research and we endowed chairs in specific areas of expertise to make sure that our students going to UW would be trained under world-class folks that have extraordinary research capacity. And as we began to look at this $3 million, it's time to step back. I was part of the interim committee that put the $3 million there. But having now come forward 6 months, I think we do have to sit and figure out what is it that we want. And I submit to you, unless you know you're going to advance an actual project, unless you know you've got your finger on some piece of technology that you could put $3 million into that would be a game changer, one other alternative is to say, well, you know, we used to have an extraordinary faculty member at UW, Pradeep Agrawal. I apologize for using his name, but unfortunately we lost him to an early age, and we never replaced that expertise in coal technology. You could endow a chair. You could say we want the UW to go out and recruit a replacement for a program. One of the things that the engineering faculty study or the engineering college identified is a difficulty that if you go out and hire just one faculty member, and as a Dr. Agrawal, you're unfortunate to lose him to a heart attack, and there's nobody behind him, you have a void. Nobody picks it up. The students just don't have that continuous training. So you've got to identify areas of expertise. And if coal is it, and that's where we're going to have a commitment, then you have two or three layers of world-renowned research. And so if one moves on or you happen to unfortunately lose somebody in the process, the next person steps up and the program goes on, much like our atmospheric science program, which faculty come and go, and we always have a world-recognized atmospheric program because we have a program. I'm not sure of the solution, but when I do look back and see a lot of the money that we spent, we paid a lot of money for consulting that's generated studies, that paid for folks that sure love burning through these resources, and I don't see any game changings. In terms of the big projects, we've been lucky on data centers, but outside of data centers, we haven't done a lot to recruit coal facilities or advanced technology. And these we'll get these payments back, but it is time to take a step back and ask ourselves, what is it that we want, where are we going, and how do we make sure the money just not simply burn through, rather it makes a game-changing event. And I think that's the challenge, and I'm not sure that we captured it in this amendment, but the amendment's still good. It's better than what we came with, but I'm certainly not sure that it captures what we need to do to go forward.
Senator Henderson.
The amendment, I think speaking to the bill, it's a broad conversation in regard to how Wyoming can position itself and leverage its resources and its assets in order to bring us forward. And, of course, I think a very articulate explanation in regard to our efforts more on the production side as to how we can produce more coal, better coal, how we can produce perhaps syngas from coal and that. And I just want to throw into the mix this idea, maybe our focus needs to shift. We've looked at all the production, and given all the technologies and whatnot, and some of the focus has been brought upon the cleanness of coal and all the other issues that you're familiar with coal, my view in regard to shift might be in the area of marketing. And the reason I say that, because I think what's going on in the world in regard to taste or at least acceptability of different types of carbon-based assets. Where are we now in regard to coal conversion to gas when we have a world that's becoming more and more in wash with natural gas? We're finding it off the coast of Africa. We're finding it around the country, new deposits in neighboring states and that. So that's shifted the whole concept in regard to what our market share is in gas. And so I think now, with all the technologies, we need to make an investigation. Number one, what is the market? What are people around the world looking for in order to develop their economies? And what then are they willing to accept? And how can we get our commodity from where we're at to where they're at in a form that's acceptable to them? So I'm suggesting that maybe some of our attention that's just been described, that's been directed more to the production side, we need to go out and introduce ourselves to the world and say, this is what we have, and this is the form that we can put it into. Is this acceptable to your taste, and are you willing to talk to us in regard to its delivery? So I'm thinking now, given the whole context of the idea that there's a much broader menu available to the world in regard to the product that's available, that we need to focus attention in regard to what is the market, where is the market, how do we develop that what, and how do we get it to the where. And so I'm suggesting that we continue our efforts, but with a bit of a different focus. Then when we've identified where it's at, what it is, we then assist our commodity producers in regard to not only achieving the product, but achieving the ability to get it to market. So that's just a suggestion in regard to all of our attentions and all of our resources in regard to market our commodities.
Well, Senator Hicks.
I do think Senator Baldwin brings up a point, but I think there's another point that needs to be made here. We've made significant investments into that college, and if we don't have a game changer, is that because the research was deficient or for some other reason? But when we talk about consultants and research, let's predicate those on what you're basically trying to accomplish. And a lot of the research is basic research. It's not designed to create a game changer. It's designed to answer some question that may not have any relevance to an actually application. When we talk about using consultants and the piles of consultants, that's an application to try to put those to work. So when we talk about where do we want to invest the money, do you want to invest it in a large portion in the basic research, that the question may never be, what is a game changer for Wyoming coal? Keep in mind, a lot of those consultants things, those are for an application. How do we implement, and how do we do something with Wyoming coal? So I just want to point that out. There's really two questions here, is whether you want that money to potentially go towards an application, what we would, within the research community would call applied research. How do we actually do that? A lot of those consultants are looking at how do we actually do the applied research component of taking our Wyoming coal and putting it to solids, to liquids, or gasification. That's where a lot of those consultant studies come in, is look at the application. A lot of the research, if we're doing basic research on coal, or never get to the question of how are we going to drive a revenue stream off of that coal. They tend to be on much, much broader and much more precise issues that aren't designed on the marketing, the sales, and the other alternative uses for coal. So I just want to throw that out there in the context of basic research and applied through the use of consultants.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. It's a little different here. We're talking about two major projects that we're committed to, that the state needs. We've got the Gillette Madison project. We've got the project at the university and the College of Engineering. With this amendment and this bill, my question is, where do we stand on the financing of them? How much of the total projects, if we pass this, have we got funded, and what's the game plan for getting the rest of the funding?
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll try to answer the last question first, and is specifically on the Gillette Madison project. If, in fact, this $30 million swap goes through and this bill should pass, then that brings up the Gillette Madison project will be totally funded except for one last component, which is $28.5 million. And to my tall colleague from Natrona County, if you remember the governor's message on his budget, he had a way to go out and capture that $28.5 million. I won't get into that other than to say that your Appropriations Committee has another way to do it so that that will be able to be taken care of in the next budget session. So that's the Gillette Madison. On the College of Engineering, you may recall that last year we did $30 million and we had the match, and this amendment does away with that match. We had the we now have in this bill $30 million more that will go through the with the we've taken the $30 million away because of the swap, and so the budget bill coming forward will have $60 million in there for the College of Engineering, plus the 30 puts us at 90. Part of that is match, puts us at 105. And then the number out there is between 90 and 105, and so there's some money that has to be taken care of in that. But essentially, to my tall colleague, we're pretty much well done with the Gillette Madison, except for the 28.5, and the engineering college is almost to the point where if we all these things move forward, we'll have it funded. As to the other discussion, Mr. Chairman, all very good ideas. You know, and I look at our clean coal technology, the matching grants we've done over the years, and the number escapes me exactly, but it's in excess of probably $30 million where we've gone out there and done the research component. My colleague from Carbon County talks about to try to figure out different ways to utilize clean coal technology. A lot of time, a lot of effort. It's very difficult to quantify that and put it in a cost-effective measurement as to what has that done for us today. So I think this discussion is very worthwhile, and this $3 million is something that we ought to talk about. Is it marketing? You know, the Powder River Basin coal is a known commodity. We know the benefits of it. It's low sulfur. We know that the BTUs count is down. We also know that there are people in the world that are looking and want to buy our coal. So that's a discussion worth having. As to the endowed chair, you know, I think we have to be very careful in terms of AML funds, but if it's for coal, maybe that's a discussion we should have. So I welcome any kind of discussion we might have in that regard as to different ways we would do this. And don't forget, members of the Senate, that in the last budget session we had, in that budget that we are now in the middle of, we had $10 million additional dollars set aside for coal technology to do some things with, too. So this discussion about where we go with coal is a very healthy discussion, and it's time to maybe look at, are we spending the money too much in things that we already maybe know what we need to know? Maybe we ought to market the coal or have an endowed chair. So I would ask that you pass this amendment, and I think that there's some great minds in here, and we probably will have some second reading amendments.
Question being asked. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Standing Committee Number 1, Senate File 106, say aye.
Aye.
Motion to adopt Standing Committee has passed. We're back on the bill.
Primarily in
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Bebout?
Mr. Chairman, there's a committee of the whole amendment.
Could we have reading on the second committee of the whole amendment?
Senate File 106, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 11.
Go ahead, Mr. Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 106. Members of the Senate, this particular Committee of the Whole Amendment deals with a $9 million appropriation that we had in our last budget bill that we did last year, and it's natural gas to liquids, and there were several projects in our state that had a potential to move forward, and if you look at the language, Mr. Chairman, on page 1, specifically lines 21 and 2021 and 22, the language we had last year said construction and operation. And Mr. Chairman, because of the unknown nature of this ever really moving forward as far as construction and operation, we thought it made sense to come back to the Senate and look at the design or construction. This is a great project for the state of Wyoming where we talk about natural gas to liquids. And there's a lot of dynamics moving in this regard. And I think the whole purpose of this amendment is to refocus. I think we need to keep the $9 million in there. But what it really does is shifts from a construction operation to design or construction. And then it says, if you go further on the Committee of the Whole Amendment on line 28, it says, any grant supporting construction shall only be expended for the development of a final design. We don't want to get into preliminary designs and spend money with consultants on most of the stuff that we already know. It would only be the final design, which means it'll be ready to go, and it's something that would come to fruition. And then we have some of the existing language that we talk about. At the bottom of page one, it requires a dollar for match. And then if you go on to page two, we ask the governor may request, if you look at line seven, a determination by the Advanced Conversion Technologies, we've changed the name of that, and the Joint Minerals Business and Economic Development Committee, that the grant has a reasonable likelihood of leveraging a substantial future capital investment in a large plant. We just wanted to give the governor some flexibility. This really is a game changer, and it's something we ought to move forward on. The rest of the language down through the through page two is language that we utilized before. It's general language about what we would do with this natural conversion. It would go forward. It would cost $50 million or more, and a lot of this language is similar. We just put it in a different part. And so, Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to answer any questions on this particular amendment.
Senator Mumflatter.
I do have a couple questions, and one is, why the language change on the amendment lines 22 on where you struck out? Wouldn't the original language, minerals to value-added products, also include natural gas liquids? I'm not sure why we struck that out, but it would preclude some other items that may apply. And then that's one question. On line 40 of that same page of the amendments, it says a dollar-for-dollar match of funds not from the state of Wyoming. Should that say state of Wyoming funds or funds of the state or something? Because technically that says that as long as you're from Colorado, New York, whatever, or it precludes a donor from the state of Wyoming actually donating money or matching money or being the applicant because it says it excludes funds from the state of Wyoming. And then at the bottom of page 45, the last or on that line, it says, an analysis produced with funds from this appropriation or matching funds involved, involving the siting of commercial scale. So will it be up to whoever, whether they say this part of the design came from matching funds and that part of the design came from the state funds, so we're only going to give you your part? Should it say produced with funds from this appropriation and matching funds involving the siting of a commercial? It just seems like that would leave it open to discussion as far as how much we're going to give you back should this go away. So I guess there's a couple, three questions there for you.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the question about minerals to value-added products and replacing with natural gas to liquids, absolutely correct. And we thought that when we looked at minerals to value-added products, we didn't see a lot of potential out there, but if this body wants to change that back to the way it was, it would include natural gas to liquids. I got no problem with that. As to the dollar for match for funds from the state of Wyoming, existing language, if there's a way to tighten that up to clarify, again, no problem with that. The purpose of the bottom of page one, little 2i, is that if we in fact do the design opportunity of this, and there's some proprietary information there that we've expended our money, we have the right to that information. It shall be transferred to the state upon abandonment of the project. So we have something to show for what we put the funds up for in terms of the match.
Senator Von Flatter.
And so we get all the planning and all the everything that went into it. Should it not come to fruition, or as the thing states, or only the part that is ours? That's how I would read it.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Nicholas.
Trying to wrestle with that language, you'll wrestle with it for the next 2 weeks and you'll find a solution to it. If with all these technologies, there's proprietary elements so that if you're looking to bring in a plant and if it's these three or four large firms have the technology, So he said, look, if we're going to put our money into it, and then you get up, and it looks like you're going to build the plant at the last day, you say, hey, the capital costs are too high, we're bailing. What do we get out of our money? Well, you're not going to leverage $50 million worth of intellectual property that, or whatever they generated to build their technology. And so there's got to be some negotiation to say, look, if we put our money in it and you get all the way to the end and you decide you can't raise the capital, what we need is a package that's made available for some other firm to come in and take the same package and go forward. But this really goes to the heart of the problem. And what we're really doing is removing this from a request for proposal process where you say, hey, give us the best proposal, you spend the money and you get nothing, to one to where we're going to say to the governor, don't spend it unless you can deliver or it looks like we're going to deliver something.
Senator Weavatt, is there anything else you'd wish to add? Question? You've heard the question. All in favor of committee of the whole, amendment number 1 to Senate File 106? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion is passed. Back on the bill, what is your pleasure?
Question.
Question on the bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The Senate File 106 has passed the committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee the whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Presidente.
Reports from standing committees.
January the 25th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 38, University of Wyoming Board of Trustees, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senator Anderson, 02, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, Rafa, Senator Co-Chairman. January the 25th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 141, Unlawful Use of Toxic Substances, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Escobel, and Hicks. No, Senator Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman. January the 25th, 2013, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 1, Qualifications for University of Wyoming Trustee, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Senators Barnard, Cole, Landon, Rafa, Senator Co-Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Announcements? Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet at 12:30 today in room S13 to discuss the following referrals: Senate File 121, Career and Technical Training Grants, Senate File 122, Expansion of Medicaid, and Senate File 110, Registration Fees, Trailers with Living Quarters. And, Mr. President, just a heads up to members of the Senate, your Joint Appropriations Committee has completed our work on the supplemental budget bill that has been given to staff that's drafting it. and your Joint Appropriations Committee is tentatively plan on meeting Tuesday on adjournment to work the bill and come with a final bill to present to you, and then the plan is, Mr. President, to discuss it the following week, as I understand it.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Heads up for Monday night's meeting of your Transportation Committee, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, Committee Number 8, Monday, 10 minutes after adjournment, room S14, take up Senate File 123, National Guard Armory, Senate File 130, Professional Licensing, Military, and Senate File 158, Front License Plates.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, Committee Number 9, Minerals, will meet in approximately 15 minutes to take up Senate File 157, Hydraulic Fracturing Disclosure Requirement.
Further announcements. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate stands in recess until 2 p.m.